We are joined by Jeff O'Brien, an attorney with Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, we've done this many times before. We're going to do it again. A three and out based on sports, based on football. And let's start with the Washington Commanders, formerly Washington Redskins. A lot of people get upset if you say they once were the Redskins. They were for many, many decades. But now new ownership groups comes in. Magic Johnson is part of the group, and he's talking about changing the name. Do you know what percentage of the team he has? I can't imagine it's a big cut. I just think he seems like to have he's the face that they want put on the franchise. And he may be the first, I don't know how much of it he has, but one of the first minority owners in NFL history.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know what percentage he has, but yes, I think there's definitely, especially given the how much of a PR nightmare Dan Snyder was, the previous owner, that they're definitely going to have Magic be out there as it looks like being the face of the franchise. Although one of the other owners, I think Harris, he wasn't too bad either. He brings his mom to the press conference. So
he's the big money guy in this.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks like, you know, definitely, I mean, anything's an improvement over the previous guy. Right. But Magic made a comment that I thought found interesting, that he's open to revisiting the Commander's name. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that, even though, you know, understood why they wanted to change the name Redskins because of the, you know, racial overtones to it, people weren't really thrilled with Commanders.
No.
And I think, you know, I think it's funny you can call them the Commies, given that they're in D.C. too. But the one that's been intriguing the most, and I hope they reconsider it, and this was a name that was thrown around back when they were first changing the name, was the Red Tails. It refers to, I believe, a division of the Tuskegee Airmen. So if you're trying to go from being the opposite of, you know, a racist name, why not do something like that in honor that group, which did a lot of stuff, you know, had a lot of heroics in World War II. So I liked it. It's a lot closer than.
Well, here's my question, and it's a question of ignorance. Red Tails was chosen by the Tuskegee Airmen, right? It wasn't a name given to them, and at the time
right.
was some derogatory name.
Right.
Okay. Then that's a good thing. And by the way, of all these names that people have been forced to change, the Redskins was by far the most offensive.
Yes.
I didn't have a problem with, you know, even the Cleveland Indians changing their name. And, you know, they didn't have to. The Braves, they want them to change their name. And it's all these high school teams that had to change their names. And, I mean, nothing was nearly as offensive as Redskins. That was horrible.
Right, 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 right. Well, and you had the owner of the previous owner of the team way back when was, I mean, the Redskins have had a bad history with race issues. I mean, they were like one of the last teams to integrate in the NFL.
Yes, they were. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's how the Cleveland Browns wound up with Ernie Davis.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I think it's a good idea to revisit that name, and I do think that Red Tails wouldn't be a bad idea.
No, Ernie Davis, by the way, was a phenomenal college
yep.
running back at Syracuse, Heisman Trophy winner. Never played in the NFL because, sadly, he died at a very, very young age, and it was tragic.
Yep.
You know, so he died of leukemia. All right. Now let's move on to the other. Let's talk. You know what? Let's get to Dalvin Cook, and we'll get to the jersey with the Titans and the Vikings in a minute. But not that he signed, but Dalvin Cook, he offered essentially $1 million bribe for his girlfriend to recant that he abused her, domestic abuse, where he allegedly basically threw her over a couch. She hit her nose and her forehead or her, you know, she would bust it open her nose. And he, you know, he did say, I will give him a very little bit of credit. He did say, you know, you could take this back, but hey, I get it if you don't want to, and I'll take my punishment. So, but he's, you know, it never looks good when you're up, but that probably explains why he's coming up with, you know, we're looking for such big money from a team. He wants to get that $1 million back he's trying to offer. And I don't think
right.
there's any indication she took the money.
No, I don't think so. And I, you know, he should face legal consequences for his actions. You don't do that.
No.
and you don't pay try to pay a bribe for hush money. You know, don't pay hush money either. But, you know, it's kind of similar to, you know, Adrian Peterson. He was out there, you know, playing for how many years because he was, I think, because he was still trying
to. He was broke.
He needed money for, you know, I forget how many kids he has. And, you know, I do think that when you're looking at kind of ranking players in terms of, you know, their who's the best, I do think that there it's not just your accomplishments on the field, but how you carry yourself off the field. And that's why I never put I would put Peterson and Cook at third and fourth in terms of all time Vikings running backs. I still say Chuck Foreman and Robert Smith are one and two because of their versatility, because of their accomplishments on the field, because of how the way their teams performed, because of their accomplishments, and also because of how they carry themselves off the field. That, you know, Chuck is to this day is active in the local community. Robert
Smith he's been a substitute school teacher.
I know, and so I think that you know, Robert Smith is another one. He's been done a lot after football. And I always put those. So I'm gonna have a hard time moving those two from one and two ever.
Well, Chuck, the versatility he had. If you were to take Chuck Foreman as he played in the 70s and put him now, he would be a superstar because he is the running back. He is what teams want: a great receiver who can run.
You know, you saw that this story over the weekend, over this summit of all the running backs getting together and kind of having a pity party because they're no longer relevant and they're not going to get the big checks. Well, Chuck wouldn't be at that meeting because Chuck would be doing just fine right now.
Yeah, Chuck would be doing very well. I mean, keep in mind, by the way, Chuck's first contract, he signed and made $24,000-$25,000 his first year. That was it.
Yep.
The money wasn't good back in the 70s. That's why a lot of these guys at the time had to work off-season jobs. All right, let's move on to the Titans. And the Vikings are part of this, too. Something about a little squabble with the Titans and the old Oilers. I thought when the Oilers moved to Tennessee that they owned all the rights to the Oilers stuff. They don't?
No, the Adams family still owns the rights to it. Because if you remember the very first couple of years they were in Tennessee, they called themselves the Tennessee Oilers. And I always think of that movie Basketball where they're talking about teams relocating and the beginning of the Lakers move to LA where there are no lakes. The Oilers move to Tennessee where there's no oil, and the Jazz move to Salt Lake City where they don't allow music. I love the idea of these. I was really excited about all these throwback uniforms. You know, seeing the old Seattle uniforms and the course, the Tampa Bay creamsicle ones, the Viking ones, I'm fine with. I don't know why everybody's getting into a tizzy over the fact that there's a yellow outline around the
big deal.
The numbers. It's a tribute to the 69 team. If anybody goes back and looks at the 1969 uniforms, that's how they did them originally. And then they took them off starting in, I think, 70. They went to the where they didn't have the outline around it, but they originally had that yellow outline around them. So I don't know why everybody is getting upset about that. But, you know, the Titans using the Oilers helmets and uniforms and stuff. Yeah, I'm honestly not thrilled about it, Bob. You look at the way the NHL has handled the Minnesota North Stars, and now they own the rights to the brand. So you've got the Wild being able to. I mean, the Dallas has the history, big deal, but it's the Wild that are using the old North Stars colors on their retro jerseys, and I think that's the way to do it. Or what happened with Cleveland when the Browns moved to Baltimore and all the history and the uniforms and everything stayed in Cleveland until the expansion team came. That's really the way to do it, and it's unfortunate that. That this is happening, but I hope that the Titans are brave enough to wear those on. Maybe they could wear those on the road to Houston against the Texans and see how that's received.
Yeah, that'd be the game to do it. You know, it's something that doesn't really bother me. If Gomez Adams' family has a problem, that's their business, and I think they're still upset because the Titans wouldn't let Lurch play it as a defensive end.
Right.
I'm sorry. Every time I hear Adams, I think of the Adams family with Gomez and Wednesday Adams and what was the wife's name?
Morticia, right?
Morticia Adams. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Morticia's probably pulling the strings on this one, I dare say. All right, Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated. Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone.